From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, April 30th. Coming up, every spring, mushroom hunters head outside to look for an elusive mushroom. We'll find out more about morels and where to look for them in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Governor J.B. Pritzker this morning made public a long-awaited investigation into a COVID outbreak at the LaSalle Veterans Home last fall that eventually killed 36 residents. As Hannah Meisel reports, the probe found failures of preparedness and communication at every level.
During the first 8 months of the coronavirus pandemic, the state-run Veterans Home in LaSalle only reported one resident test positive for the virus. But beginning in early November, COVID took hold in the facility, eventually spreading to more than 100 residents and 100 employees. 36 residents ended up dying. A new report sheds light on the outbreak, and investigators say a mix of unpreparedness, a failure to communicate, and an absentee ex-director of the state's Department of Veterans Affairs are to blame. The report concludes the agency's lack of clear guidance made the facility's outbreak response, quote, inefficient, reactive, and chaotic. Governor Pritzker's office says it's already implemented many of the suggested changes made by investigators, but the first-term Democrat faces massive potential fallout from the report. I'm Hannah Meisel.
A new report from the Illinois Department of Public Health finds black women are three times more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than white women. This represents a narrowing racial disparity compared to the agency's 2018 report, which found a six times greater risk for black mothers. But Public Health Director Dr. Ngozi Ezike says this is not actually a sign of progress.
While the disparity has narrowed for pregnancy-related deaths between black and white women, it is not due to conditions improving for black women, but is instead due to worsening conditions for white women, especially due to mental health conditions, including substance use disorder and suicide.
An average of 75 Illinois women per year died while pregnant or within 12 months of pregnancy. The state's maternal mortality review committees, which analyze all cases of maternal death, find more than 80% of these deaths are preventable. A committee at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston voted unanimously this week to recommend that a building named for Stephen A. Douglas be renamed because of the 19th century politician's ties to slavery. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
EIU's naming committee surveyed the campus and community about renaming Douglas Hall. The dormitory and its twin, Lincoln Hall, were named to commemorate the Lincoln-Douglas debate held in Charleston in 1858. Naming committee member Don Holly, an anthropology professor, says the original intent was just to remember the debate.
But unfortunately, as a standalone building, it does appear to honor Douglas. This is a problem that no number of informative plaques will be able to correct.
A problem, says Holly, because Douglas owned slaves and argued that new states should have slavery as an option. Unlike previous renaming proposals, this one does not suggest a new name, only that the name of Douglas Hall should go. The naming committee's ruling goes to EIU President David Glassman, who may or may not pass it along to the Board of Trustees. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
Faculty, staff, and students at the University of Illinois who are fully vaccinated for COVID-19 will soon no longer have to get tested for the illness, following a recommendation from the Shield team based on the latest vaccine research. The decision is expected to be implemented before the start of the upcoming fall semester, though it could happen as soon as this summer. Those who qualify can upload their COVID-19 vaccination record card at mymckinley.illinois.edu. Still to come, it's morel mushroom season across much of the Midwest. We'll learn more about their appeal and where to find them. That story's coming up next on 217 Today.
Hi, this is Chantal Vaca, and I'm the engagement producer for the 21st. And I'm curious, what issues in Illinois matter to you most right now? Join the 21st Text Club and add to our weekly conversation. Just text TALK to 217-803-0730. That's 217-803-0730. Let's keep in touch.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's morel mushroom hunting season in much of the Midwest, and as Melissa Rosales reports for Harvest Public Media, people are scouring river bottoms to find the hollow, sponge-like, edible mushrooms.
Omaha Public School teacher Christy Jones grew up hunting morel mushrooms with her father, Phil Finch. Right when the lilacs bloom, she was used to getting a phone call from her dad to talk about the season. But this year was different. Her dad was sick with COVID-19 when he died from a heart attack.
He passed February 24th, so the last time we actually got to mushroom hunt together was last spring.
Wendy Porter steps over a log and ruffles up leaves on the ground with a stick.
Oh, found one!
Porter and her father are hunting morel mushrooms near the Missouri River. The 51-year-old Nebraskan has been hunting them for 30 years. She's seen some Facebook groups for morel mushroom hunting in Missouri, but not one for Nebraska. So she started her own.
And to my surprise, people were wanting to join left and right. And I mean, daily I get probably 20, 25 people wanting to join. It's pretty cool.
The group now has more than 2,500 members. But the last two springs haven't been good seasons because of flooding.
Morel hunting is absolutely terrible because the land just gets wiped from the flooding we had a couple of years ago. And so it's not good hunting the year after a flood.
Tersh Kepler is a morel mushroom hunting expert.
But right now we're in a perfect time 2 years after the flood. So I predict this is going to be a really good year.
Kepler calls it an adult treasure hunt. And like any good treasure hunt, there's a lot of secrecy.
The one thing a morel hunter will never do is tell people exactly where they're going.
They're worried about people finding their secret spot and getting their mushrooms. Morels are really hard to find because they need very specific conditions to grow. The ground temperatures need to be between 55 and 60 degrees, and they only grow near freshly dead trees that still have a lot of bark on them.
What makes them so popular is the fact that no one has been able to figure out how to commercially grow them yet. So they're usually in season, depending on where you live, for about 6 weeks out of the year.
Kepler says morel mushroom hunting is extremely popular. Hunters can sell the mushrooms for as much as $40 a pound, maybe even more when the season ends. Greg Wagner with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission says hundreds of people hunt morels in their state parks, but they're not supposed to sell them.
The appeal for people to go out and hunt morel mushrooms is the fantastic taste of them. There's nothing that tastes as earthy and peanutty as these morel mushrooms.
Wagner enjoys them fried in butter and garlic. Christy Jones likes them fried too. A few weeks ago, she went hunting with her sons and nephew for the first time without her father. They had been hunting for nearly an hour and almost gave up.
And I don't know, I just kind of stopped and looked down and I saw one, and I just looked at Matthew, my son, and I looked down and I said, "Thanks, Dad." And then there were about 9 more right around that one. And I just really felt Dad there going, "Here you go. Find the cluster."
Joan says it's bittersweet to hunt without her dad, but she'll never give it up.
And I know my boys are planning to pass it down when they have kids. It'll just be a tradition that continues in our family. And I'm sure they'll tell stories to their kids about their grandpa.
Jones encourages hunters to enjoy the time in nature and the peace and quiet, whether or not they find anything. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Melissa Rosales.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly sunny skies and breezy conditions with a high of 67 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Christine Herman, Jim Meadows, and Melissa Rosales. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.